Amen. I believe I heard Brother Tommy make mention of it, but there is a restaurant that's down the street called Table 100 that's back by the Holiday Inn and all of that back there by Lowe's, so it's just right down the street, and there are some people there who own it. They're just wonderful, wonderful people, and they wanted to give back to the church, and so from every Sunday, you can go in there for lunch or brunch and go over and get your eat on. At the end of it, tell them you're from Word of Life, and they'll take 10% of your tab and give it back over to the church. Amen. And so, but you got to make sure you tell them you're coming from us, so they know where to send it to. Amen. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. I had two different messages that were rolling around in my heart this past week. One was a continuation of what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, navigating life and talking about the power of words. And then the other one was a new series that I was thinking about starting, and perhaps we'll get into that next Sunday, called The Secret to Living is Giving. Anyway, so I had those two things that I was studying and prepping for, and Wednesday morning, Tuesday night, I woke up about 2-3 in the morning, the Lord just put on my heart some things to say this particular Sunday, and it's actually a continuation of some things we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. The goal of it is to teach us, teach you, teach me, how to be led by the Spirit of God. I heard an old preacher's story. I'm sure some of you have heard it. But basically, it goes like this. When cruises first started, there was a cruise that could go from London to New York. And there was a guy there in London who was not well off at all. He was not a wealthy individual. But he wanted to go on this cruise in a bad, bad way. And so he saved up enough of his money to where he could finally buy a ticket to the cruise. And he bought a ticket on it. And he didn't have any money to eat on while he was on the boat. So before he got on the boat, he just went to a store, almost like a Sam's, you know, where they sell bulk goods, and bought a big thing of cheese and a big thing of crackers. And just made up his mind that while he was on the cruise, you know, he'd need something to eat. And so he'd eat off these cheese and crackers. Well, he got on the cruise. You know, he couldn't afford one of the luxury suites, you know, where it overlooks the ocean where your room does. He just had a little room down at the bottom of the boat, not even a porthole or anything. And so he decided he'd spend the majority of his time out on the decks of the ship. And so he'd go up there and just soak it all in, soak the views in. And boy, he was having a time, just enjoying himself. And when lunch and dinner time came, he'd see all these couples, you know, dressed up in the nines. I mean, just dressed up in top hats and overcoats and beautiful dresses, all going to the dining hall to eat these huge meals. Well, it bothered him a little bit that he couldn't afford that, but he didn't let it bother him too much because he had this great view and he'd watch him go by and just sit there and eat his cheese and crackers. Well, towards the end of the trip, I think they had like a day and a half left, one of these guys come dinner time stopped him. He stopped by him. He was walking by where he was sitting on the deck. And he said to him, he said, "Why don't you come down with me and let's go to the dining hall and eat dinner?" He said, "Well, you know, that's for you rich folks. I can't afford to go in there and eat." He said, "I'm out here and I'm content with the views and the cheese and crackers I have here now, and I can't afford to pay for that kind of meal." And the guy just had a bewildered look on his face, and he said, "Don't you understand? This is not a ship. This is a cruise. The price of the food was included in the ticket." And basically, it's a story that illustrates a very important spiritual point. Spiritually speaking, there are a lot of people who think that Jesus paid the price for them to get from point A to point B. To be here on earth, but I've accepted Jesus, so I'm on my way, buddy. I'm on my way to heaven, and I can't wait to get over in heaven, and I'll sit here on the edge of the boat and just, I'll get by, and I'll enjoy life, because I know I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus paid the price. And friends, we revel in that, and we thank God for that, that Jesus did pay the price for us to go to heaven. And if you've made Him your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that's exactly where you're going. Amen. We revel in that. We give glory for that. But friends, the price to eat in the dining hall, instead of eating cheese and crackers, that was in the price as well that Jesus paid when He hung on the cross. And Jesus didn't just die to take us to heaven. He died to give us life. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The Amplified says that you may have life to the full until it overflows. I like that. And so there are benefits and there are rewards to making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. I mean, there are big benefits to it. You know, like the American Express logo, membership has its privileges. Well, it's the truth. In Christianity, membership has its privileges. And one of these privileges, and it's so sad. I mean, it's so sad. But very few Christians know about it. And friends, this is why so many people are struggling. One of those privileges is the ability to be led by God. I mean to be led by Him in every way. And where you go and what job you take and what city you live in and who you befriend and who you marry and what church you go to. Being led by God in those decisions. See, decisions make destiny. The decisions that you make, they take you where you go in life. And if we are faulty in our decision making, it's going to lead to a hard life. If we're good in our decision making, it's going to lead to a good life. But friends, I want to be excellent. I want to be excellent in my decision making because I want an excellent life. And the only way to never miss it is to be led by God. In Romans chapter 8, and we'll see this in verse 14. And then we're going to go right over to the book of Proverbs. Romans chapter 18 and verse 14. Notice this. It says, for as many as are led. Everyone say led. Led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Let's read this together. Start out with me on the count of three. Let's read this. One, two, three. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Do you see that there? If you are a son, or you could say a child of God, there ought to be something happening for you. There ought to be something going on for you. And that is, you ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Sons of God, children of God, are supposed to be, they ought to be, led by the Spirit of God. And what we want to talk to you today is a simple way for you to be more sensitive to the Lord, more sensitive to this leading. And it's a three-step formula on which I'm going to major on the second point. A three-step formula. Number one, respect. Everyone say respect. Number one, respect. Number two, recognize. Everyone say recognize. Number one's respect. Number two is recognize. And number three is respond. Respond. Everyone say respond. Number one, respect. Number two, recognize. And number three, respond. The first step to being led by the Spirit of God is you've got to respect God enough to slow down to find out what He wants you to do. Notice this. If you are a son of God, a child of God, you've got an advantage. Your spirit has been made alive unto Christ. Old things were passed away. All things have become new. And you've been quickened spiritually. So now your spirit is in a place where it can receive direction from the Lord. It can receive light from the Lord. In fact, the Bible teaches us that the life of God is the light or the development of men. In fact, E.W. Kenyon points out in his book, The New Kind of Life, that if you study out world history, no nation ever needed a patent or ever was coming up with any type of inventions until Christianity hit it. And when Christianity hit the nation, the life of God is the light of men, then you started seeing those nations produce. And friends, it's the absolute truth. Your life, spiritually speaking, has been altered. It's been changed completely. Your old man has passed away, and now all things have become new. Your spirit is alive unto God. And now he's got an avenue he can speak to. He's got an avenue he can lead you by. And we see this, let's keep reading here, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God. For you've not received the Spirit." Notice you've received a spirit, but not this kind. "A bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now notice this in verse 16. This is huge. "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit by which we're led. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Well, how's he going to lead us? Verse 16 gives us a great clue. He leads us by bearing witness with our spirit. Bearing witness with our spirit. So many people, Brother Hagin used to always say this, and being led by the Lord, so many people are always looking for the spectacular, but all the while missing the supernatural. He would say it in this context, so many people want to hear a voice or see something or have God reveal a sign, or we've been saying on Wednesday nights, "Lord, if you want me to do this, have 7 red cars pass in front of this house in a row. If you really want me to take this job, Lord, just have brother so-and-so come up to me and start talking to me about." They're wanting something in the natural. They're wanting something in the flesh, whether or not they should do something. "God, lead me." But they're almost working like Gideon did by putting out a fleece. Well, somebody said, "Well, Gideon put out a fleece." Well, the reason why Gideon had to put out a fleece was he was living under the old covenant. His spirit wasn't alive unto Christ. But now in the new covenant, ours is, and we don't have to put out a fleece. His spirit will bear witness. Witness with your what? With your spirit. Not your flesh, not your mind, not your intellect, not your reason. In fact, a lot of times your reason and intellect will contradict the leading you get in your spirit, in your heart. The Bible talks about that you are made up as a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. A three-part being. And the part of you God bears witness with or leads you by is your spirit. And so if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, you've got to be aware of the avenue he's speaking to you through. And the avenue he's speaking to you through is your spirit. So if you are going to be led by God, the first step is you've got to respect him enough to check the avenue he's speaking to. What does that mean? You're checking the inside. The hidden man of the heart. The heart of a tree or the heart of a watermelon is what? It's the center. It's the center of that tree, the center of that melon. And your spirit is the same way. It's your center, if you will. You know, you hear people say, "Well, I just trust my gut." Well, you know, that's almost a proper spiritual term. Go over to, and you'll see what I'm talking about, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 27. The first step to being led by the Spirit of God is you've got to respect him enough to check the avenue he's speaking to. And the avenue he's leading you by is your spirit. So when you're making a decision, the place where you should look for guidance is on the inside. You're not looking for something you can see with your eyes. You're not looking for something you can hear with your ears. When you come down to making a decision, you check the inside. Proverbs chapter 20, and notice this in verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of, notice this word, the belly. The belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. This scripture used to not make sense to me. I'd hear Brother Hagin preach on it all the time, but I never quite got it. And one day I was just sitting reading his book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. We've got it out there in the bookstore. It's a wonderful book. And he leads off with this scripture. And I just circled it and I said, God, you need to teach me off of this. I need some greater light. And basically I realized immediately that back then, if they lost something or they were searching for something and it was dark outside or dark in the house, they didn't have a light switch you could come up to and switch the light on to look for it. So what they do is, to search for an item that they're trying to find, they'd light a candle and take that candle around and search for what they were looking for. And keep searching for it until they found it. He said that's how your spirit is. When there's something on the inside and you need to know what to do, you need wisdom, you need guidance. What do I do in this moment? What do I do with this decision? You search on the inside. You keep looking on the inside until that light comes, until that wisdom comes. Just like if you lost something on the floor, you turn on all the lights and lift up sofas and all of that to find the item you were missing. If there's a part of understanding that you don't have, a part of wisdom that seems like I don't know quite what to do in this step. You don't make a move until you find what you're looking for. And the place where you're trying to find that wisdom is your spirit, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You're looking to the inside. You're looking to your heart. You're looking to the inward man. And so the first step is you've got to respect the Lord enough to look there. In Proverbs, go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're right here. We might as well look at it. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, and we'll go right over to the book of Revelations after this. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy what? Heart. He's not talking about your natural heart. He's talking about your inward man, the center of your being. All throughout the scriptures, it's called different things. Most of the time, it's called your heart. Sometimes it's called your spirit. Sometimes it's called the belly. Sometimes it's called the inward man. But all of those things are inside. They're internal. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own what? What part of your mental, I answered the question. What part of understanding does understanding work through? Through your mind, through your mental capacity. He says, and lean not to your own understanding in all your ways, do what? And he will do what? Direct your paths. He says, when it comes time to make a decision, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't try to figure it all out with your mind, but instead, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. What does it mean to acknowledge? Have you ever been dissed before? I mean, maybe you're walking through a grocery store and you were waving at someone you recognized them and maybe they just didn't want to talk to you, so they dissed you. I mean, they walked away from you. They didn't want to acknowledge you. And so you're trying to get their attention, but they don't acknowledge you. They just keep doing what they want to do. Well, it's the same way with the Lord. The Lord wants to lead us. In fact, that's what he sent his Holy Spirit on the earth to do, to lead and guide you into all truth. He wants to lead you, but in order for him to lead you, you've got to acknowledge him. You've got to say, all right, Lord, I need to know what to do. All right, Lord, you're the revealer of secrets. You said to call unto you and you'd show me great and mighty things which I did not know. You said for me to do that. Acknowledge you, Lord. What do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do here? What decision do you want me to make? And when you're praying that, where are you looking? You're looking to the inside. You're looking to your heart. You're looking towards your spirit. You're looking towards your belly. You're looking towards the inside. Well, that's the first step. You've got to respect the Lord enough to acknowledge him when it comes time to make a decision. But after that, you've got to know what to look for. You're respecting him enough to ask for direction, but what do you look for on the inside? What are you checking on the inside? His spirit bears witness with your spirit. A witness, if you've seen a trial and lawyers and judges and all of those things, they'll bring up a witness. And a witness is designed to do what? To testify based off of what they know, what they've seen, what they've heard. God lives outside of time. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the author and the finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He sees everything. And he knows if you make these decisions, what will happen down the road. He's a witness. He knows things. You know, I remember these books I used to read. I want to say it was the Hardy Boys or something like that. But, you know, you're reading and you get to like page, just say 65. And on page 65, you had a choice. And the choice you had to make was, if you think such and such is going to happen, turn to page 98. But if you think other things are going to happen, turn to page 164. And then the whole story would change based off of the decision you'd make. So I'd go and read a little bit of both to find out how I wanted them to end. And then I'd come back to that point and make my decision from there. So that way you're not disappointed. Well, it's the same way being led by the Spirit. You come up to make a decision, and I could do this, and I could do that, and I don't know which way I should go. Look to your heart. The Holy Spirit knows the end from the beginning. So you look there because he knows exactly if you do this, this is where it's going to take you. But if you do this, it's going to take you this way. So you look there and he bears witness with your spirit. He testifies to your heart based off of what he knows. Go to the book of Revelations. We'll see this here. Go over to the book of Revelations, chapter 3 and verse 20. And if on the screens you can pull up Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 in the Amplified. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 in the Amplified. We're going to the book of Revelations, chapter 3 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 in the Amplified up on the screens. We see this here in Revelations chapter 3 and verse 20. Jesus is talking here and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and he will sup with me, with him. And he with me. Notice this. This is how to be led by the Spirit of God 101. Your spirit is made alive unto Christ. And when he wants to get your attention, he doesn't scream from the rafters. He's not sending you an audible voice or a sign. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And it's gentle and it's subtle. just a little witness. Some may call it, it's a constraining or a tightness on the inside. At other times, it could be the polar opposite of that. It could be a leading or a prompting. We're going to look at a couple of different scriptures here in the book of Acts to wrap this up, where you see this from the scriptures. But it's him knocking on your door. It's just on the inside you sense something's trying to get my attention. Sometimes it's excitement and joy because there's an opportunity that's coming up. Other times it's like, I need to slow down. And when that knocking comes and you sense something's not right, what do? You respect him enough to acknowledge him and open up the door and say, I need further light on this. You know, we got a little kid in our neighborhood, God bless her. But she'll come to the door, and when we hear this certain knock, we know it's her. And we're diving behind the sofas. I mean, we don't want her to see us to know we're in the house. Because this kid, if you open up the door to her, she's going to ask you 101 questions. In fact, whenever I open the door now to her and open it up to see what she needs, I say, you got 7 questions. And I'll count down how many questions she asked, and at the 7th question, I said, I'm sorry. It's, you know, because she'll say, can Avery Reese come out and play? No, she's only 4. Okay, well, can I go up to her room? No, she's only 4. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. Is she sleeping? Yes, she's sleeping. Okay, can I go up and see her sleep? No, you can't go up and see her sleep. I'm not exaggerating. You can ask my wife. That's the absolute truth. And so when we hear her knock, I mean, it is hide, turn off the lights, and act like no one's home. We're not going to acknowledge that. But you know, if you've ever been waiting for a package and you're excited about it, you got a sign for it. When you hear that knock on the door, what do you want to do? You want to go acknowledge it. Open up the door. You want to see what they have for you. Well, Christ is the same way. When he wants to get your attention, it's just something on the inside almost knocking. Something on the inside trying to alert you. Something's not right about that. Well, you don't just go and just walk away and keep. No, you check. You open up the door. What is it, Lord? What is it you want to show me? What is it you want to get over to me? And it could be, don't go that direction. Don't be around them. Don't watch that. Don't listen to that. Don't invest in that. No, don't put that in your business strategy. No, don't hire them. Or it could be there's a knocking there and you open it up and it's, yeah, that's the way to go. Go that way, and your head's fighting you the whole way. But on the inside, you know you should do it. Look at this scripture here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, and let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your what? Hearts. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Notice this in the center section. Let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. Notice there's going to be questions that arise in your mind. We have that happen all the time. You don't make a decision based off of that reasoning, though. What do? When you have questions arising in your mind, what are you looking for? Not looking for someone else's opinion. You're not looking for someone else's advice. You're looking towards your heart. And if there's peace there, it settles it. It settles it. We're going this way. If there's peace there, it's done. We're going this way. But even if your mind in the natural, it looks like everything is good. If there's no peace there, if there's just, something's not right about this. Brother Hagin said it's like washing your feet with your socks on. It's just something not right about that. On the inside, you can tell something's not right about this. I don't care how much it makes sense to your mind. You do not go forward. Go over to the book of Acts. We'll close with this. I want to show you some examples. I think this will help you. in the book of Acts. We'll close with this. Acts chapter 11. I saw on a newsstand, I'm a big reader, and I saw on the newsstand on this cover of this one magazine, it was a big, large published magazine, and was talking about the power of intuition. And so I said, that's interesting. I see, and you know, it's coming from a different place. But in the, it gave an example of this lady named, if she was married to Ulysses S. Grant. Which, you know, he was the general for the North in the Civil War, later a president. Well, anyway, after the war was over, they all got invited to go to a theater. And this was the theater where Abraham Lincoln was shot. And his seat was going to be right next to President Lincoln's. Because, you know, he's there to watch the deal. And he was the general who won the war. And so he had a seat right next to President Lincoln. And before he was going to the deal, his wife ran to him, apparently. And she didn't know why she was doing it. She said she was acting a fool. She didn't know why. But she just knew, don't go. Do not go. Just something in her. She says, almost something took over me. I just don't go. And so she talked him out of going. Well, and they later came to find out that not only was Abraham Lincoln, you know, assassinated, but the chances were that General Grant would have been a target as well. Well, how'd she know that? How'd she know? Friend, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He is your guide. And when you sense something's not right, respond to it. That's point number three. When you recognize you're checking the inside and just there's not peace there, you don't keep pressing to have your way. You respond to it and back off. Notice this in Acts chapter 11. We'll look at a couple of examples real quick here. Acts chapter 11. And we'll look at verse, well, for the sake of time, we'll go to verse 12. In this experience, Peter's had a vision. And in the vision, he sees animals that he considers unclean, but the Lord speaks to him and says, don't call what I've called clean unclean. And basically, the Lord was revealing to Peter's heart that Christ was not just sent for the Jews, but sent towards the Gentiles as well. Sent towards unbelievers, people who didn't have a covenant at the time with the Lord. And so this caused Peter's mind to go on tilt. And he's debating with the Lord. This doesn't make sense. How is the gospel for the Gentiles? No one's ever preached to the Gentiles before. And Peter's mind is trying to process all this. And so he's telling that story. You can read it from Acts chapter 11 and verse 4 on down, but we'll start in verse 12. While he's talking about this and contemplating this, notice the phrasing here in verse 12. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he starts preaching to them the gospel. Why did he make the decision? Something on the inside, the Holy Spirit was baiting him to go. I just feel like I need to go this direction. He went that direction, and it opened up the gospel to all of us. The Spirit bade him to go. Notice there's some other phrasings here. Go over to Acts chapter 16. We'll look at three more. Like I said, we're closing. I just wanted you to see the different verbiage. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Well, we'll start off in verse 5. The church is growing at a rapid pace. We see this in verse 5. It said, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. So, I mean, you got churches popping up everywhere. And to their mind, the next place where it seemed like they should go preach the gospel was Asia. It just made sense to go that direction. But watch this in verse 6. Now, when they had gone through that place and into the region of Galatia, they were, watch this, forbidden. Of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Is preaching the word bad? No. Did Asia need to hear the word? Yes. But it wasn't the will of God for them to preach it there. They needed to be somewhere else. And so they're wanting to go this way, but it's just something on the inside won't let go of them. Just something on the inside keeps pulling them back. The Lord's forbidden them. Watch on it. Watch this. It goes on to say in verse 7, and they were come unto Mysia, and they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So notice, they're trying to go preach in different places, but when they get up to these places, just something in them won't let them go any further. Friends, when you sense that, respond to it. Be quick to make that adjustment. Be quick to back off. But in Peter's case, the Spirit bade him to go, so he went and did it. Notice there's another terminology in verse 17, chapter 17 and verse 16, right next door. Chapter 17 and verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to adultery, and he started preaching to them. Well, why did he start preaching to them? Because when he saw it, something stirred him in his spirit. I need to do something here. I need to do something about this. His spirit was stirred. If you sense that baiting, if you sense that stirring, act on it. Follow after peace. But if you're sensing a forbidding, if you're sensing something's not right on the inside, it's just not peaceful, you back off. Notice, I'll give you one final one and we'll wind it down. Acts chapter 18 and verse 5. Acts chapter 18 and verse 5. The book of Acts is chock full of these examples. I'm just giving you the ones that are close to each other. Acts 18 and verse 5. And when Silas and Timothy were coming from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Press. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. What is the witness? It's a knowing. Sometimes it knows something's not right. Other times it knows, I need to act on this. Friend, I'm telling you, the more skilled and proficient you can develop yourself in this, the more glorious your life will be. There's a scripture, I wrote it down because I figured we wouldn't have time to turn to it, and I was right. So I wrote it down. I want you to go home and look at it. It's in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 12 through 13. And this is a scripture the Lord prompted me to end with. He says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. How are you led forth? With peace. The mountains and the hills shall break before you. Meaning the things that were standing in your way, when you're led forth with peace, and not with your own understanding, those things that were standing in your way, they just fall by the wayside. The mountains will break before you with singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I love this next part. Instead of the thorn shall come the fir tree. What used to prick you and be hard, what used to irritate you and agitate you, now becomes smooth and easy. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name. He's talking about the difference between a hard life and an easy one. He's talking about a life that's filled with obstacles compared to one that's filled with just an open way. One that's poking you all the time with thorns and just irritating you all the time, to one that's smooth and easy sailing. And the difference between one kind of life and the other is whether or not you're being led forth with peace. The more proficient you can get to checking the inside, looking for that peace, is that peace? I'm not looking for a voice, I'm looking for a witness. Is that peace there? Is that peace not there? If it is there, act on it. If it's not there, wait on the Lord. Sometimes it may change and you get peace. But don't you make a move. Don't you make a move until you find that peace on the inside. Friends, He will lead you. He will guide you. And the glorious blessings of the Lord await those who will learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Respect, recognize, respond. Every head bowed, let me pray for you. Father, we come before you today and we thank you, Lord, that we do that. Check the inside. We respect.